People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy, no fillers. Just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Visit redbarninc.com/coupon to save a dollar off your first can.
Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello. This is Erica Sandberg with Adventures with Money, the show all about having this amazing life, enjoying what you do, getting out there, having fun, being productive, no matter how much you make, no matter how much you owe, and no matter how much you own, because you can create the life that you want. And it is all about money, because money is the road to get to where you want to go, which is your goals and having a great time and living well. So one of the problems with money is that you can get caught up with some conflict with your partner. It's money issues is one of by far the biggest problem that couples have. You're going to fight about it. You're going to have different priorities. Even if you're not partnered up, one of the things that you just look back and remember what happened with your parents. Did they fight about money? Did they have any sort of issues regarding where they wanted to go and what they wanted to do and how much they wanted to save and who was spending too much? Chances are the answer is going to be yes. So it really is a major issue, which is why I am so very happy to have Dawn Oland with us today. Dawn is a relationship coach, couples counselor. He's based out of Illinois. He's an expert in getting couples to come together on all angles of their relationship, but certainly one of them is financial. And he's got this amazing background. He served in pastoral ministry. He really, truly understands what goes into a relationship and how you can smooth it out, make it really productive. So he published his first book, Bringing Respect Back, Communicating Without Conflict. How important is that? Very important. So it's a very, very good reason to have a relationship expert on this show. So, Dawn, welcome.
Thank you, Erica. It's a pleasure being with you today.
Well, you know, it's a real pleasure to have you. You know, I certainly know from my personal experience that money and relationships don't always mix. When I was growing up, my parents always had conflict about money. My dad was a gambler. I put that in my book. I remember money coming in and going out at lightning speed. And my parents had 7 kids. And it was up to my mom to make sure that everything, all the bills were paid and that we were taken care of and that it wasn't this chaotic up and down. Is that something that you experience a lot, where you have these kind of wild differences in money styles?
Yeah, absolutely. When couples are not having conversations about money, they're operating off of their own expectations, and sometimes those expectations come from their growing up, like you described, in your own family, where it seemed like your mom really had all the pressure on her to make it work, whatever money was there to make it work for you, your siblings, the entire family. While your dad, he saw money as an opportunity for, let's say, his own adventure, but maybe a little bit extreme, right? Where he's out there gambling and taking resources that might need to be going to something more important, like keeping the lights on, food on the table, and that sort of thing, clothes on everyone's back, and maybe putting way too much pressure on your mom to make it all work.
So that begets a question for me. which is, you know, here you are in a couple's counseling, in a couple situation. Do, in your experience, do people go to their corners and kind of stretch out very often? In other words, if you are connected and you've been together for a while, and maybe mm-hmm. you've got this style of dealing with your money in a very kind of reckless way, like my dad. Mm-hmm. Does it make mm-hmm. you more reckless because the other person is becoming more and more, look, we need to get the bills paid. We need to be stable. And so does it polarize sometimes? I mean, is that a risk? Instead of coming together, you it's like a magnet. The force is actually going the opposite direction. Is that common?
Yeah. You know, you're actually getting into family dynamics, things that we look at in our field, family systems theory. We look at the, we call complementary relationships, and they're not, when I say complementary, I'm not using the term where they complement each other in a nice way. They're complementary in the sense that when one goes to one extreme, the other one tries to correct that problem by going to the other extreme, which causes that other person again to act out on their extreme, which causes the other person to react on their extreme. So you see this dynamic form that when one person does the one thing, let's say the gambling, and the other one is holding more tight on the, trying to hold more tight on the finances and complaining and that sort of thing, and then the other person feels controlled by that person and they're going to go back and gamble some more. You get the idea. In essence,
yeah.
what you have there is a power struggle over the issue of money.
How common is this?
You know, it's very common, and that's because money, like a lot of other issues in marriage, are not talked about early on and talked about in a manner where both parties are able to express their views, their values, their, let's say, their approach to money. So because they're not having that conversation, they're going into relationships like marriage with assumptions. And those assumptions can get everybody in trouble because if you're operating off an assumption and you think your partner is going to kind of follow suit and they don't, now you're having a conflict. And so that conflict then can become the battleground for control over the couple's relationship with money.
It's, you know, I want everybody out there who's listening to really, really think about how you are with your partner right now. I mean, is
mm-hmm.
this something that resonates? Chances are it does to at least a certain extent. So, given that, Don, is there anything
mm-hmm.
right now, any kind of any tip that you can give that that moment where you feel like, oh, you're not going to control me with your with your money style, I'm going to go even further into this negative pattern. What can somebody do? You're in this relationship. You don't want to have conflict when it comes straight down to it. Look, it's not conducive to a fun life. So
mm-hmm.
what is it that people can do?
Yeah, you know, I've ever been in those arguments where you the argument's about to start and you say to yourself, I know how this one's going to end, right? It's always going to
uh-huh.
end this way because when we fight, we always end this way. So here's my first tip. Begin with the end in mind. If you know that having this conversation is going to end up the same way, ask yourself the question, is it worth having this conversation this way? Now, I'm not saying you avoid the topic. What I'm
mm-hmm.
saying is you're going to have to try a different approach to the topic. And when things like money really require good communication, and good communication, you know, has a certain type of sequence to it. You know, one person speaks, the other person listens without interrupting. They listen with the intent to try to understand. And if they can understand, they convey back what they hear the other person saying. And once that part is done, that person feels heard and understood. That lowers the tension of the interaction. Now you can come from your own position and start to talk about it. And hopefully the other person is going to show you the same kind of respect you showed them. Then you can start to really have a conversation about money that is infused with respect, that is more likely to get you a better outcome than the one you were previously using, which is this back and forth reactive dialogue, people talking over each other, intensity rising, yelling and screaming, and then it just, right, you know, it just ends. You withdraw, and really nothing is really resolved other than the fact that you both are very upset with each other, and then
right.
that kicks that pattern back in gear again. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense. And I must say that when you put it that way, which is start with the ending in mind, I don't think I've ever done that. I'm going to try that. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot. And it's interesting because I don't think that that's a natural. It's just not something that we naturally do. Right. But it's something that is, it does make sense. So, mm-hmm. you know, let's all give that a try. Now, regarding relationships and money, it's a very loaded topic. Money is a loaded topic. It's, mm-hmm. I remember when I got married, uh-huh. and by the way, it's been almost 19 years now. So it's been a while. But I remember I was so terrified of mm-hmm. feeling controlled. I mean, I was in it for the love. That's why I mm-hmm. got married, because I loved. That was it. But what I also loved, besides my husband, is freedom. And mm-hmm. that freedom didn't mean going out and being with other people. It meant I want to be able to jump on a plane, a train, whatever kind of form of transportation, and going to see the world and doing it whenever I wanted and spending as much as I wanted. And that was always in my head. And I remember I kind of pinned him down right before on our wedding day. And I said, honey, mm-hmm. Can you just be okay with this? If I want to get on a plane and I want to go someplace and I want to be gone for 6 months, are you going to be okay with this? Because that's the only way I'm going to go through this. And he's like, sure. Okay. Looking back, that was very unreasonable. I genuinely believe that was an unreasonable, but it really kind of has to do with money and freedom and that feeling of not being mm-hmm. tied down. What do you think about that? What do you think about that?
Sure.
You know, not wanting to have somebody have restriction, put restrictions on you when it comes to money and doing what you want with your money.
Yes, I think that's a common fear, Erica, many of us have going into this commitment of marriage. I think if anything, you are being honest with your husband. And the concern is, will I lose myself and the freedom of my personal enjoyment when we marry?
Yes.
Many of us have.
And that could be anything, right, Don? That could be
anything. Yes.
Wanting to go get a manicure whenever you feel like it. Buying a
yes.
leaf blower whenever you feel like
right.
it, and not having to run it by somebody else.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Well, because we're looking at power here a lot in this conversation. We started talking about a little bit earlier, you know, the power that goes into power struggle. But we all bring our own personal power into our relationships, and that's our independence. That's the ability to think, to feel, to speak, and to act for ourselves. And so when you're independent, you can hop on a plane and tour Paris, you know, or tour Europe and stay in Paris for a while because you have, let's say you have that freedom and flexibility to do it. When you get married, you know, you shift from this primarily independent relationship into this interdependent relationship. And it's not like you lose your independence, but you share some of that with this other person. And the question is, you know, are they going to honor me, the person I am, or are they going to try to change me and to be the version of me that they prefer? And so we go into married life wondering, well, what's going to happen? How much of this is going to change my life and my interest and that type of thing? Now, it would be unreasonable if you were unwilling to grant your husband the same option you asked him to give you, right?
Correct.
Or let's say it would be incongruent with the nature of marriage if you turn this into a habit, say once a quarter you're off for a month.
Right.
It's hard to develop a marriage that way. But this whole idea of you want to still be able to be yourself and be able to do things that are important to you and that your partner understands that's a part of who you are, and not to try to hinder it, but actually try to encourage it, support it, because in doing so, that partner is going to allow you to flourish in the relationship in a way that'll benefit him or her. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I love your perspective on this, because it's flexible. To me, that's what it sounds. Sounds flexible.
Yeah, that's
like,
great.
Hey, it's okay as long as you've got the agreement in place and you're feeling good and you're feeling strong and you're honoring the other person. And I love that honor, because that's what it is. Honor, it's respect.
Yeah. And I like your term flexibility. I use it a lot in my work here coaching couples. Is understanding that if you want the relationship to work, you're going to have to be flexible with each other, and you're going to have what I call mutual accommodation. Sometimes I'm accommodating you on your end because you want to take that trip. And then you're going to accommodate me on my end because maybe I'm going to do the fishing trip with the guys, or maybe it's something completely unrelated, but something that's still important to me that you get and say, okay, you know what? I support that because that's really important in your life.
Yes. Okay. Now, there is this kind of, it's a sticking point for me, because I have been in financial counseling for a very long time, talked to a lot of people just like you who have had problems not developing or maintaining a certain financial autonomy. They rely on their partner too much, and they start to remove themselves from saving, planning, preparing, understanding, and you lose your financial footing, and you lose your I'm going to say independence. Even though when you're a couple, you do lose a certain amount of independence. You're not just one person. You are part of a relationship.
Exactly.
But can you talk a little bit about that, the importance of making sure that you're not completely dependent, or on the flip side, that you're not that one who's holding all the reins?
That's a great question. I think you're hitting on something a lot of people struggle with, and I see a lot in my work. And it gets back to what I said earlier about a real healthy relationship, Erica, is when each individual can balance their independence with their interdependence, and that they support that for each other. So if a person is giving up way too much of their independence to the other person, and that person starts to kind of encroach upon territory where the person, let's say in the past, managed rather well, but for whatever reason, let's say a traditional view of marriage where the man is the leader and, you know, the wife is kind of the follower, or let's say the submissive one, and all of a sudden she's giving complete control of the finances over to him, what she's losing is a part of her identity that functioned very well before marriage. So if a person starts to give up some of that identity, whether it's around money or whether it's around interest or whether it's around, let's say, TV shows, music they like, or whatever is part of their identity, if they start to give up those things and start to do only the things that their partner enjoys, what you have is what we call, I'll use a bit of a technical term, but I'll explain it. It's symbiosis. What it's saying is the two identities are coming way too close, and one person's identity is being absorbed into the identity of the other, and that person now kind of controls the brains for both people. And that's always a sign of an unhealthy relationship. And it's a power differential where the power is weighted on the side of the person who has the control. And for the other person, that puts them in a very difficult position, because as being more dependent on the other, they're at risk if the marriage is not working. Because now, let's say all the financial resources are controlled by the other person. A lot of things are controlled. Then this person who's developed this dependency really fears being away from the person because they've lost self-confidence. They're detached from themselves, and they're in a bad place, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. It's a terrible place. It's an absolutely terrible place. It's scary, right? You made a couple of statements before about losing yourself, and you lose yourself. You should be the one who, if that person walks away or dies, you should feel like, okay, I can mourn that, But I don't have to mourn the financial angle. I got this covered. Mm-hmm. And there's something very adult, too, about keeping in touch with your finances. You mm-hmm. become a child when you're mm-hmm. dependent. And don't do that, right? Be an adult.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you'll get more respect, too. And if your partner doesn't respect you because you're the one who's you are planning, preparing, saving, earning, and we don't respect you for that, I would say mm-hmm. that's a pretty big marker for something's not right. What do you think?
I actually addressed this in the book that you referenced earlier, Bringing Respect Back, Communicating Without Conflict. I devote a whole chapter on what I call one-sided relationships. And these are the kinds of relationships that often happen in families, whether it's husband and wife, parent, daughter, or let's say adult parent, adult daughter, adult son, whatever the case is, where the relationship is one-sided, that one person is always getting their way. They're the taker, and the other one's always the giver. And in those type of relationships, they're not happy, healthy relationships. They tend to be stressed a lot, and a person mm-hmm. who's the giver is giving away too much of themselves and losing connection with themselves. And that's just an unhappy place to be. I mean, life, as your show indicates, is to be an adventure. You don't want to give up your spirit of that adventure.
No, you absolutely don't. But one of the things that can ruin the sense of adventure is when there is there's a financial emergency. And mm-hmm. suddenly you're going to have to react, and you're going to have to react well. Not just you, but the other person is going to have to react well. So mm-hmm. everything could be fabulous. You know, you've got your trips planned, and your kids' vacations mm-hmm. are all done, and everybody's happy, but then something goes awry. You lose a mm-hmm. job. A huge expense comes up. Maybe there's a medical bill that you've got to pay. Something mm-hmm. happens financially, and it's going to throw a massive wrench into this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So everything could be brilliant before that, and then something like this happens. And I guarantee every single relationship this is going to happen. If it hasn't happened before, it's going to. So prepare now for these. Something's going to happen when it comes to money, and you're going to have to deal with it. How can you deal with a financial emergency without killing each other? Because killing is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting you bring this up, because we're actually going through this right now. My wife worked for this major corporation for about 21 years, and they went through a corporate restructure. And the region that she was a VP in got absorbed into other regions, and so a lot of people lost their jobs, her included. And so, you know, this was obviously something that was unforeseen that we've had to talk about. And we've had to talk about our money situation and how to adjust accordingly, you know, to look at the current picture, the bigger picture, and have some, you know, some heart-to-heart conversations about that and working through that. And it requires your best communication skills, where you really listen to each other and try to understand and work through it together, not fight through it together, but work through it together. So, if people are not accustomed to having good communication about money, when a crisis happens, it can be worse, because you're in the crisis, now they're fighting over how to manage the crisis. You don't need that kind of weight on top of a crisis situation. You need to come together, not pull apart.
One of my favorite ways of thinking about this, and it was my best friend's mother. So shout out to you, Susie, who said, just remember, when you are in a relationship, you're on the same team. And when you you're on the same team, that means you're working toward the same goal. And that doesn't mean that you have to go on the same vacations together or buy the same things or value or even, you know, it doesn't mean that you lose your individuality, but what it does mean is that you're on the same team. You've got this commonality, and Don't forget that. You're not opposing forces. You know, you don't want to have this kind of head-to-head battle where you feel like you're totally working toward different goals. And if that's the case, go get some help. Get some help, because that's an indication that there is something wrong. Would you say that when you feel like you're constantly battling, especially when it comes to financial differences, because they can have such grave consequences, should they go? Should, what do they do? Pick up a book? Go schedule an appointment with a couples counselor? What do you think?
Well, deeply entrenched financial differences, they often create gridlock when it comes to, the management of money. So every month the Visa bill comes in, prepare for the battle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when these entrenched patterns emerge and you're not resolving them, but it just gets harder and harder, this is when it probably would help for you to talk with somebody who's really good in helping you communicate well. A skilled marriage counselor or coach can help you learn key elements of a healthy relationship, which include respectful communication, sharing power, how to collaborate, how to accommodate back and forth so that you can integrate a new approach to finances. Trying to go about it between the two of you is only going to dig deeper, a deeper rut of that problem. And you're just going to spin your tires, burn some rubber, burn some gas and never really get out of it. So you really need someone to coach you out of that pit. And so situations like this, I find that when people come and they come and talk with me, I teach them how to communicate so that whether it's an issue of finances or whether it's an issue of values or roles in the house or parenting or getting needs met in a marriage, that once people learn how to communicate the right way, they can tackle just about any kind of issue and make it better, make it more manageable. But if you continue to try to go about the way you are, you're going to get nowhere but in deeper trouble.
I couldn't agree more. And I'm speaking with Don Olin, relationship coach, couples counselor. He's the guy to go to when it comes to these particular issues on how to communicate effectively. Now, we're going to end. We're going to end with some tips from Don.
Sure.
But what I want, before we get to the tips, we just have a minute left, is if you feel, everybody out there, if you feel like you are walking around with your arms pressed to your body and you can't, it's like your wings are stuck because of financial issues, because of how you communicate with your partner, this is it. This is the time to stop, because this is the life we have, and it's going to be up to you to get out there and have this amazing this amazing existence. So, Don, on that note, can you give a couple of tips on, and we only have a minute left, on how people who are in relationships can be more open, happy attitude toward their finances?
Sure. I would say you're going to have a series of conversations where you can talk about, let's say, from your perspective, each of your perspectives, what the purpose of money is and your dreams about it. The dreams you have about, earning money and the opportunities that earning money can afford, buying the house, the car, vacations, giving to charity, whatever it is. And so what I would say is have a series of conversations, but the idea is to listen to each other and take notes, and then try to combine your values and ideas into a mutually satisfying approach. Another tip, if you're not good at managing money, own that. If you're not good at it, own it. Do yourself and your marriage a favor by taking a course. Read Erica's book. Get a coach. Do something that you can, that could help you turn money management into a plan for adventure for your life. Here's another tip I always tell couples. In your budget, have a line item for non-discretionary spending. You know, it's your personal allowance, whether it's $20 a week or $200 a week or $2,000 a week, depending upon your income. Have something like that so you don't feel like every penny is going to pay a bill, but that you can sit in a Starbucks and have a latte and not feel guilty about it because it's in the line item budget.
Okay, Don, I'm going to have
budget.
To stop
yeah.
you there. I'm
sure.
So sorry, but
okay.
continue the discussion. Get out there. Talk to your partner. Adventures with Money. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Erica. Have a great day.
You too.
Quick trips to Walgreens are always a win because Walgreens has a surprising amount of stuff. Why don't we start with the letter B? Butter, baking soda, baking powder, bakeware, basically all things baking, bleach, beverages, blocks of cheese, bars of soap, bars of granola, bars of... Okay, you get the idea. Oh, and Brian, the best cashier ever. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Now with card, Oreo cookies, 14.3 ounces or 2 for $6 or $4.99 each, and Neo 1.6 ounces is $3.29 each.
Adding the choice of a crispy chicken BLT to Wendy's 4 for 4 is the biggest thing since rappers trying to sing.
I got me a yacht and I sound like a robot.
But do you like the sound of this? Wendy's 4 for 4 now comes with a choice of a junior bacon cheeseburger or a crispy chicken BLT.
From Detroit to Macon, I keep it crisp like bacon.
Both are topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon and come with 4 nuggets, fries, and a Coke for just $4.
Oh, yeah.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, meal includes small fries and a drink, not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.